Welcome to the 165th edition of Scions of the Southland. This is a different kind of two-parter for us. Akshay is unavailable, sadly, today, and then Jake also was unavailable, so it's just me today for at least the first half here. We're going to have a very exciting guest. On the second half of the show, it's going to be Rick Clark, the undergraduate admissions director of Georgia Tech, who, if you've applied to Georgia Tech in the last, 15 to 20 years, he probably signed some sort of correspondence or some email at some point that made it to your inbox or your mailbox. And so he's been the undergraduate admissions director there for a long time. So really thankful to be able to get a chat with him, and that'll be a fun little part. In the meantime, let's go ahead and dive into just the stuff that's been going on around Tech, which is a lot. For one, notably, the men's golf team, they won their 19th ACC title this past week. They won that on Monday, April 24th. We're recording this April 25th in the evening. So they managed to get through the individual phase. Basically, how that event works is basically everyone does stroke play, and then your combined score, the top four teams with combined score, get you to the semis. Tech made that far, cleared any hurdle they needed to get to that stage. They shot 26 under combined, which was 16 strokes clear of Wake Forest, who was 10 under. So they shot 26 under in the first two, or in the, whatever the first how many rounds they were at the beginning. Excuse me. And then that put them in the semifinals against Duke. I will note in that individual stroke play, Hiroshi Tai of Tech shot 9 under. He was tied for first place with Michael Brennan of Wake Forest. Brennan eventually did win the playoff, so he took the individual crown. The semis against Duke, pretty straightforward. Won 2-1 in three matches. That was Connor Howe, Christo Lamprecht, and Ross Steelman, all 2-1. And Hiroshi Tai also, he won. Connor Howe had lost Howe. And then Bartley Forrester was all square in his match, so a 3-1-1 victory there, which put Tech against Wake Forest in the final for the second consecutive year. For those that paid attention last year, they lost on a playoff hole after tying two matches in the best of five. And they came out pretty early yesterday and stayed ahead the whole way. Ross Steelman was the fifth line, for the fifth match, I guess is the golf term there. After three holes, he was ahead, and Tech at that point was the third match of Tech's to go ahead and be in the lead. And it stayed that way the whole time. It got to four matches that Tech was leading in at one point. I think it was Connor Howe's match that they were leading eventually. Hiroshi Tai did not lead at any point in his match. Connor Howe lost 2-1 again. Christo Lamprecht was playing Brennan, the same Brennan that won the individual title and killed him 6-5. And then we won 2-1, and Ross Steelman sunk a very beautiful, long, curving birdie putt on 16 to clinch the crown and win 3-2 in his match. So that's it. ACC title number 19 on the year, which is really cool. Lamprecht was named to the Arnold Palmer Cup International team, and he was the top-ranked player he's on the international squad, and he was the top-ranked player available in that player pool, so good for him. The team has the NCAA regionals next, and then you qualify from regionals, get to the big daddy of them all at the end for the NCAA championships. And so that's where they sit. Really good. We get a title or something, you know? Not many ACC titles just falling in our lap, but really good to see golf continue to be dominant and play like a solid team there. They've been top 15 pretty much this whole time. I believe they were 12th ranked coming into the weekend, so I assume they've jumped up. I haven't actually checked. So either way, there's your golf update. Really moving on, I want to touch a little bit on football because if you've been paying attention to the NFL draft, which I imagine a lot of us are, and who maybe you're going to draft on your fantasy team next year, Tech outside linebacker edge rusher Keon White, he's probably going to get drafted in. My main source for football stuff is The Ringer, and he was 29th on Danny Kelly's big board with, quote, shades of Cam Jordan. So we'll see. It'd be really cool to see him get drafted. It'd be really cool to see him get drafted in the first round, and just really cool to see a Tech guy, also just like a main position player Tech guy, like really find a really good spot there. Of course, we have Darren Waller who's playing tight end. And then, obviously you got Harrison Butker, who will be speaking at commencement in next weekend. And then Jack Coco, you know, there's a few guys out there, but to get Keon White in a good spot would be really cool. Non-zero shot. Atlanta might need him as well. It'd be cool if he could stay home and watch him play at the Benz. So we'll see how that goes. Rooting for him. I'm not too well-versed in the expert stuff on the football and the draft things and whatnot and, like, his tendencies and all that kind of stuff. But go out there. You can find plenty of stuff on Keon White. Definitely cheering him on to get to see where he gets picked. I mean, he's 29th on Danny Kelly's big board. He wasn't in their latest mock draft on the Ringer, which only goes up to the first round. So he's going to get picked Thursday or Friday would be my prediction there, just because he's high enough on everyone's draft board on the edge rusher. As the more edge rushers you have, the better you are off on as a defense. Like, let's hope for some really good stuff there. Men's tennis. Do a little bit of tennis here quickly. Men's tennis, they were the ninth seed at ACC championships. Both teams, the men's and women's team, had ACC championships in Cary, North Carolina, this past weekend. Men's tennis lost to Miami in their first match, so sadly not much there to go off on. So we'll just go to the women, who they were 20th ranked during the tournament, had a really good start. They started as the 7th seed, not the 9th seed, which, I mean, tennis is just stacked in both the ACC. So, I mean, we're a 7th seed. You think about that. We were the 7th seed and we're the 20th ranked team in the country. So, the ACC stacked, as we've talked about extensively in the past on this podcast. So, they faced off against Syracuse in their first match, got through them pretty easily, and then had to play Duke, who is the number 2 seed in the tournament, 6th nationally. And earlier this season, we lost a heartbreaker to them. Oh, just an absolute heartbreaker, like a tail end of a tiebreak, to lose 3-2. And so, or 4-3, sorry. And this was a very similar affair. It came down to the last match. It was 3-3, and Kylie Bilchev was the last match that hadn't finished. She thankfully was up a set up 7-5, and then after going on serve from 3-3, she got a break and then closed it out on her serve, I believe, and won 6-3, and she snagged the win over Duke, which just having one big upset like that is going to be really, really, really helpful going forward into that. And it's just team confidence. Like, those kind of wins are great. You find there's a lot of teams that Tech has played. I mean, volleyball, baseball, whoever, get the rematches and getting that little extra bump to get ahead of them is a really promising sign of just like things got better. And Duke is really, really good too. So it was really good to see that win. They won 4-3. So they got to square up against NC State, who was the number 3 seed. And they were not able to get past them, sadly. They got routed pretty easily by the Wolfpack. And the NC State ended up winning the title. And that was their first ACC women's tennis title. So, you know, all in all, not necessarily a bad thing in the grand scheme of things. A team got their first ever ACC championship in a specific event. So that's always cool to see. And Tech did well by their standards, for sure. And they moved up 3 spots nationally to number 17. Which, critical, because we're on the brink of hosting NCAA tournament matches. So I wish Jake was here, because I don't know if the ITA rankings, which is what this is, the 17 number, is like the determinant of who gets to host matches for the NCAA tournament. It's top 16 like in other tournaments, in the 64 team bracket. So we'll see how that goes. Not too sure about that. So hopefully we get to host. It'd be really nice just to have more matches on campus. Because they did all the senior day stuff and everything, so there's only so much. The only events left that are supposed to be on campus, at least in the women's sphere, are the softball games this weekend. There'll be some more baseball, since that's the last one that goes on. But after that, we're done. So, before we get to baseball, I do want to mention Section 103. Taking over another Jake role here of giving the plug to Section 103. They're just one of the best. They're our favorite, for sure, merchandise place to get Tech gear. On the online, they don't have a physical storefront yet, but hey, maybe one day. You can vote on the next design. I know Jake's been wearing the Junior's Grill one, which is a really cool one. Steven there was nice enough to send me the To Hell with Georgia flag sweater and the plain gold Tech shirt at one point after we did a write-up. So, and they're really cool. They're really soft and athletic at the same time, so they're great stuff to wear. They're always themed off stuff. You can get your volleyball shirt, your baseball shirt, your softball shirt, whatever you want. It's good stuff there. If you spend $70, you get free shipping. It's just section103.com or at section103 on Twitter. And I believe Instagram as well. So some really cool stuff there. All right, on baseball. I haven't watched that many games recently just because we talked about this extensively on the pod as well. Like, the pitching has just been, it's had its moments, and the hitting's been generally fine this whole way. But we've had a stacked schedule again. We got through that front half pretty easily. I think we expected to win most of those games, and we did. We won a few of them by a lot of runs. And now it's all kind of flipping. This was a weird situation where we had some normal games again. I just want to note, it's been a month since Tech has won an ACC series in baseball, which was over Clemson. This past weekend, they were at Miami, the 17th ranked team in the country. They lost the series 2-1. On Friday, they lost 4-2, which actually was a good game by, I think, our standards outside of the bats, only getting two hits. That's weird. I haven't checked to see who Miami was throwing that day. But either way, Luke Schmoelke was really good. He only allowed three earned runs over five innings, and I believe there was a fourth when he was there that was unearned. And Aiden Finitieri was really good in three innings of basically a three-inning hold, I guess you could say. I mean, we were losing the whole way. It was only two runs, and it was off a two-run homer that Tech had, and only two hits. So just couldn't get the bats rolling that day, but if they were rolling, that's a win. Rain out Saturday, so doubleheader on Sunday. Lost 9-7 in game one, had to come back to kind of fight and claw into that, but not much happened there. And then 9-6 win in game two, which was only six innings, and I tried to find out why. I don't think it was weather. The recap didn't say anything about that. But either way, got a win, which is good to see. Ooh, wore the gold uniforms too. That's cool. With the gold pants. So anyways, so only six inning win there. Tex is now sitting at 22-18 and 8-13 in the ACC. So definitely not. And I know in Jake ran his tournament projection thing recently, and he did not have either the softball or the baseball team listed in his tops or 64 teams that would be making the tournament. So, and I don't think generally, based on how our performance has been this year, that we would. There haven't been the stellar upsets or consistently getting two out of three against really good teams. It just hasn't happened. So it comes with the territory if you don't win enough games. There will be more series coming up. At least if you want to go see Tech baseball, they will be here. They're actually playing Mercer as I record. I want to say yes, they started that game about an hour ago at home. They're on a 7-game homestand. I want to say or, yep, they got Gardner Webb this weekend, and then Pitt comes here the following weekend, which is graduation weekend. I'll just remind you all. So if you are here for let me do a little graduation bit. If you are here, if you're coming for graduation at all, gonna be busy. It's May 5th and 6th, the baseball games are pushed to the evening to not interfere with all the graduation stuff because there's a morning ceremony on Saturday and an afternoon ceremony on Saturday. They usually clear out. I was the afternoon ceremony last year, and I believe we cleared out about 3 o'clock, I want to say. So it won't interfere that much, but also be wary this weekend if you come for the baseball series because it is Taylor Swift weekend and softball is here this weekend. So stuff's going to be crazy. I will be at Taylor Swift on Sunday, and I am looking forward to that. Anyways, let's go to softball. Their final home series is this weekend against North Carolina. They played at Duke this weekend and kind of got killed. Also, which is sad. They almost won the third game, but generally the pitching just wasn't holding up enough. If you want to, I'll defer all the analysts of this to my series preview I did with Eileen Morales, a little interview I did with her beforehand. With much less good audio quality, but either way, it was a good little conversation with her, and enjoyed just hearing what she was and where the hiccups have been amidst a lot of other things. Also, pitching there has been it hasn't upgraded. I mean, it was basically going to be Nelliman and Chandler Dennis again, and hopefully some Sophia Voiles to fill in the gaps. And sadly, it's just kind of more been Dennis and Nelliman just kind of going back and forth whenever one burns out in a game or starts getting hit on. So in the circle, and they're both their ERAs are up, sadly, so that's not killing us that much. And they're pretty much out of the NCAA tournament discussion at this point. Both baseball and softball basically need to win their respective ACC tournaments to make it through. Softball plays North Carolina this weekend. They're going to pretty much need to win out, so I don't know specifically if the softball team actually can make the ACC tournament right now, because that is not an option. Okay, so yeah, they should be in. Looking at the standings now, they're 6-15 in the ACC. NC State 16-15 as well, but Syracuse is 4-12-1. So I believe it is just going to be win and you're in Georgia Tech situation, or Syracuse not winning enough games. So basically, yeah, Syracuse have to sweep their way to get to 7 wins, and Tech would have to lose all their games. And I believe NC State would also have to lose all their games as well for Syracuse to flip everyone. So we have basically NC State have to win one game, Tech would have to win zero, and Syracuse would have to win three games to get super itty-gritty into the math. So that's all that there. But don't quote me on that. I could be wrong. The ACC tournament will be in South Bend, Indiana, hosted by Notre Dame. So that's where the games will be. And last but not least, the Tech invite. There was a ton of schools here this past weekend, the track and field meet that happens every year here, the really, really big one, not the smaller one at the front of the spring. The only race I really want to mention is the men's 1500 meters, the five of the top 10 were Georgia Tech runners, led by Zach Yeager, who ran a personal best of 343.99. I think I've met Zach before. Cool kid. Well, a lot of the track kids are really cool, actually. If you ever run into them, they're swell people. So that's all I have there. But it was really cool to see a bunch of runners at Tech again, a bunch of parents be able to support their people. I saw some of the students. They would like go around to the whatever, to the Ford building on like the wall back there behind the track and hang out there. It was really cool to see the crowd. So good stuff there. Miscellaneous other stuff. Oh, yes, men's lacrosse. I almost forgot men's lacrosse. They won their conference. They are the SELC champions, and they're going to have a shot to go play for the club lacrosse championship in Round Rock, Texas, coming up. They're going to play for the MCLA championship. That's the full league name. If they get the win, I believe this will be the first club sports win since whenever the swim team most recently won it. Jake would know because I'm pretty sure he was on that team. But it was at least 2 years ago, I want to say. So really good stuff there. So we got two conference champions this past weekend. It's really cool. Okay. With that, oh, and Survivor. Gotta mention Survivor. Carson Garrett still in the game. He had a little puking episode last week. Poor guy, and couldn't really compete in a challenge. But no one's written his name down. People like him. It's really important stuff. We're getting close to we are in the best part of the show where it gets like the last nine or so people, and there's about like the last four episodes or so are usually like the best little stretch of it. It's always so fun because it gets intense. Every little move matters so much more. The jury part of it plays in really extensively. And everyone lingers every episode because at this point, if you get voted out, you're still at tribal council the next night. So you still see everyone in the cast now. From this point on, you're going to see them through the end, which is a really cool part of it. So if you're into that kind of thing, that's up there. I'll have my recap up on Thursday best I can once other info comes out. So and with that, I think that's all I have for now. So we'll shift over to my interview with Rick Clark.
All right, we have Rick Clark here, which first time we did this was 2 years, like a year and a half ago, but it's been about a year since we last talked on a microphone after I talked with President Cabrera.
That's right.
It was around the same time, so we talked about the 2026 profile last year, and now we get the 2027 profile, which first thing I saw was 55-45 gender split, and the ratio keeps going up.
Absolutely. No, I mean, that's something that has been a huge focus for us, is continuing to not only recruit more women to Georgia Tech, but obviously enroll more women to Georgia Tech. And, you know, we're having a lot of success there. Actually this fall, I will have been here for 20 years.
20? Oh
my God. I remember, along the way looking at birth years of students and thinking, oh, yeah, that was when I finished high school, or that was when I finished college.
Like, I have a note in my outline, like, wow, I'm old, because 27 profile, that's 10 years after you gave me my admission letter, which that's... I thought you were here a long time then.
But
too.
You know, it's like I remember getting here and we were at 28% women.
Really?
And so now to have moved the needle that significantly, it's good for everything.
I mean,
you know, like employers, they want, you know, women at the table for policy creation and product design. Obviously, I think the ethos of this place is stronger with balance. And so we're pleased, we're not done. But I think we're in a good spot.
Did you anticipate to get to 55-45 that fast? Did you even have a timeline for how quickly you would get to that good of a gender parity?
Well, you know, we've been moving the needle on the first year side for a while, mm-hmm. and our transfer students continue to be heavily male, also heavily Georgia and heavily engineering.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons. And so the undergrad population is still kind of in that, right in that 40% range.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, you know, to have that first year class kind of now consistently above 40 and moving, you know, like you said, closer to an actual parity.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say we had like some kind of like strategic plan to make that
right,
occur.
Right.
But there's a lot of things working in our favor. I mean, what's happening at the K-12 system.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of I think young girls are actually being encouraged into the STEM fields at higher rates. And there's a lot of programming around that. Georgia Tech does a good job through Seismic, et cetera. So we're benefiting from that.
Give me the rest of the rundown of the whole class profile. Because there's the one pager online people can look at. But, like, what were your goals going into this admission cycle that maybe have been different? I know I think you told me last time, like, 5,000 was a theoretical number to get to one day. This one wasn't 5,000, right?
That's right. So last year's first year incoming class was about 3,650.
Okay.
So our goal is to increase that incrementally to 4,000.
That's 4, okay, okay.
So, you know, right now what we had sort of tentatively mapped out was 3,750 for this year. We ended up getting almost 53,000 applications. And you don't have to go back very far. Talk about just a little history. I mean, you don't have to go back very far. Just 5 years ago, we were getting like 37,000
right, yeah.
applications. So pretty significant.
That's when I
applied.
Jesus. Yeah. I need your time.
So that's going to mean that the admit rate, given our yield and all that, will be 17% overall.
Okay.
You know, one thing you'll hear President Cabrera say is that makes us the third most selective public in the country behind Berkeley and UCLA. Mm-hmm. It's not really our goal. We're not trying to deny more students.
Yeah.
We're actually trying to enroll more students.
Right.
So, I mean, we are growing. It's just that the demand for a Georgia Tech education.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's different. If being selective, you would assume you'd have a lot more choice here versus no. You've got, I assume, maybe double the number of people that probably deserve this. They definitely deserve getting into Georgia Tech and whatnot. There's only so much we can do, and we can't build any.
Yeah.
We're trying to build further out, but there's only so much further we can build out and yeah. add at this point.
We have space constraints. Now, Tech's been really creative with starting students at different terms. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're growing summer. Now we're starting 100 kids abroad. I don't know if we talked about this last year or not, but we had started 50 kids in what we're now calling Georgia Tech Europe, the
okay.
Mets campus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then 50 in Oxford. So that will continue. So we'll have 100 of our class does start abroad. And so we're trying to like look for ways to break up the like must be fall, must be first year.
I mean,
that's part of that's transfer, part of that's different semesters, part of that's different campuses.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't leaned as much into Shenzhen. We'll have to see if that really makes sense or not long term for first year students.
Do all the students that go to those camp, those first, they all filter through you? There's not different admissions offices for like going to Shenzhen or Mets or anything like that?
Yeah, all that comes through us and through, really through first year applications.
Yeah.
And then we essentially, either they raise their hand and say, this is what I'd like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or we sometimes, you know, especially at this time of year, we'll say to some students, if you'd like to come to Georgia Tech, this is your path.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
We mentioned the podcast with the, when the updates to the Tech Promise Scholarship came out, raising the income threshold. Did you have any part in making that happen? What was the motivation behind making that a reality?
Well, the Tech Promise program, I mean, for anybody listening to this, obviously either a student, an alum, or somebody that just really loves the Georgia Tech community. I mean, again, with 20 years now being here, I mean, there's so many good things happening.
Yeah.
And there's so many things to be proud of, but I really believe the Tech Promise program may be foremost among all of those. Everybody can agree at the core of our mission, this is what we should be doing, is giving Georgia kids who otherwise would not be able to afford to come the opportunity to do that and to do that debt-free.
Yeah.
So when we started it, we set that income level at household income level at $33,000. So even if you adjusted for inflation, you would get to $47,000 now. We hadn't moved it at all.
Okay.
And so we're at 55 now. Yeah, the way that I sort of partnered in helping us get here is, you know, working with the president, working with development, working with foundation to just sort of help our kind of key invested stakeholders understand why we need to make that move. You know, obviously we're in that Transforming Tomorrow campaign right now.
Yeah.
We need to continue to raise money. But great things happening. We'll be enrolling 75 incoming Tech Promise students this year. Many years that number was more like 50 or 52. So percentage-wise, that's a big increase. Our staff last week actually drove thousands of miles around the state hand-delivering
these
kids laundry bags and backpacks and talking them through. So, you know, again, just for those listening, I mean, just such a great program. And I just want to encourage you to consider looking into it and possibly, you know, $100, $500.
Yeah.
What that does for a student like that is significant. Does not have to be some fully endowed, you know.
We have
some people who do that, right? They
yeah.
name their own Tech Promise. But man, I mean, $100, you know, $500 will contribute significantly to the Tech Promise program.
Yeah, that's $100. Well, that used to be a decent amount of meals here. Inflation's not helping there. But that's not nothing. That's not nothing
exactly.
at all. Let's pivot to more to sports stuff, because this is a sports podcast after all.
Yeah.
Just in general, how often do you interact with the Georgia Tech Athletic Commission? Or, Athletic Administration, the GTAA. How much, I mean, how much day-to-day is there with them at all, or is it just kind of more superfluous once you run into each other? It's like, oh, great, but, or, like, what's the deal there?
Yeah, so our office is in daily contact with the athletics. We have somebody on our staff who allows for students to be pre-certed, mm-hmm. which is really the first step towards an NLI. So if a coach is looking to have a student sign, have a student athlete sign, that comes to us. Mm-hmm. We get transcripts, we get projected test scores, et cetera. I mean, Georgia is still requiring that.
Yeah.
The system's requiring that of us and of University of Georgia. And so we basically look through that student's record and say, if this continues, you know, at this, you know, if no other anomalies are here, like, we see the student being viable. Mm-hmm. And so we go from there. We go down and do education for coaches. Obviously, there's all kinds of new coaches coming in all the time.
Yeah.
With the transfer portal, that has just accelerated.
Yeah.
I mean, even on Christmas Day, things are coming through.
Jesus.
So there's really no break to that.
Yeah.
Every semester, every sport, I mean, is, as you know, probably better than I do. I mean, just the volume and the activity and the pace.
It's a lot.
The turnaround of that,
yep.
and the pressure to get that done has never really been higher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't think about the transfer portal aspect. So in that case, let's take a transfer example then. Like, I know we're getting, like, we had basketball players that recently came in, so mm-hmm. forgetting their names, but I assume once the news came out, you were already working on the academic side of, like, okay,
oh, yeah.
You heard from the basketball office, like, hey, we've got these kids coming in, we need to clear the academic part of it and then go from there?
Yeah, so admission is going to look through that and say, yeah, this student is viable. Registrar, so in our division, mm-hmm. is going to be working on all the transfer equivalency.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of these students, I mean, yes, it is about coming to Georgia Tech to play, but still, I mean, like, given APR, given NCAA, mm-hmm. I mean, like, they also need to know that they're going to be bringing credit with them so
yeah.
that they can continue. So
yeah.
It's a hustle right now for everybody.
Yeah.
It's a hustle for coaches. It's a hustle for Georgia Tech broadly. And that then has implications on the enrollment kind of division overall.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, that'll be it's an interesting concept. Because I assume every coach that comes here that hasn't been here, they've got to learn a whole new way to manage the academic part of it, because it's not the same. It's liberal arts is
yep.
not as much what you were doing. If you were doing sports management somewhere, yeah, we don't have that. So
right.
You got to curtail some things.
Yeah, and we go down there, and that's why we go down there more than we ever have. It used to be easy to go in the summer and mm-hmm. call it good
yeah.
on coach education, and now it's multiple times a year where
yeah.
you know, it's like, what's changing? What do we know? Board mm-hmm. of Regents has meetings, and there's implications that
yep,
come
yes,
out. I mean,
yep.
there's all kinds of things that require constant contact, no doubt, and I think even more, you know, of those, like, briefings as well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I know that generally there's all mission sports discussion, just general talk and chatter, that the academics can be a hindrance to getting people into Tech, which
yeah.
I know we've talked off mic about how that can be reality, but isn't really usually really good at student athletes, and at student athletes I've talked to, like, they're like, yeah, I want to come here because I can get the education part of it and still play at a really high level mm-hmm. in my sport.
Yep.
I guess of the generic rumors about, or just generic murmurs about, like, oh, it's that the academics is a limiting factor for us, like, mm-hmm. what's your general counter to that? Do you think that's even a reality in the first place?
That is not a reality. Neighbors, you know, mm-hmm. friends of mine who are Georgia Tech alums, this is a age-old sort of myth
yeah.
that is out there, that admission has some big stick and some big hurdle that we're setting, and that's keeping athletics from being successful, mm-hmm. or it's keeping certain students from not being able to transfer or come as, you know, straight in as first-year students.
Yeah.
100% false. We are using NCAA eligibility requirements.
Yeah.
And so there is not a student who's meeting NCAA eligibility for other schools that we're saying no to.
Gotcha.
Now, yes, it's true that because of the Board of Regents, Georgia Tech and UGA must require test scores, and that is not true at mm-hmm. some other schools. And it's not even true within the NCAA.
Yeah.
So that is a bit of a curveball.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, in terms of just, like, academic ability and academic eligibility, no, that's just false.
has that come up with students that have thought about coming here? Like, have you heard that from literally like from recruits that have come in, of like general wariness of like, I don't know if I can make it through the academic portion of this, or like,
I think that's where there's a legitimate conversation, yeah. Right? I mean, and I think that, you know, especially in our own state, especially when you get down to more, it's not even necessarily just rural communities. I mean, that type of trope is out there for sure, that, yeah, you might be able to get approved to come in, but ability to get through and find a place, because, yeah, sure, Georgia Tech doesn't do it all. We don't have all the majors out there, quote unquote, nowhere to hide students. But, you know, athletics does a phenomenal job of supporting students when they're here, student athletes when they're here. And the bottom line is, like, NCAA eligibility requirements are enough where we feel confident that, all right, they've cleared that general bar. Mm-hmm. Now we have support in place to take care of them. And yeah, sure, you may guide a student to a major where they can be successful, but then the support's going to be in place to ensure that.
Make sure they're good.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Board of Regents and getting people from Georgia to come to UGA and here as well, and the other state schools. Has that had any impact on where, or have you noticed like more student athletes coming in from Georgia versus your past years? Because I know the Georgia admit rates, like on the profile this year, was like 30-something% versus out of state. So is that even a factor in your head, or is that just the students come from where they come from?
So it's a good question. On the general student side, we've continued to have interest, applications, and matriculation from outside the state. Couldn't speak to the athletic side. I think there, again, like, our coaches are just having to work a little harder, I think, to ensure that these students are taking a test when otherwise they wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. It would be a very interesting angle that both UGA coaches and Georgia Tech coaches may, you know, continue to have conversations about. Is this keeping us from being competitive?
Yeah.
Clearly, with Georgia winning recent national championships, I don't know how much we want to talk about that.
I didn't like that day.
You know, arguably or debatably not. Yeah. In that other schools around the state, or sorry, around the country, have dropped that test requirement in recent years, and yet still seeing, I mean, even our golf team and others recently who have been competitive when we've had that requirement, other schools haven't. But going forward, as like you look at the whole California system, just drop tests entirely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what kid coming out of California right now has got any incentive to take a test?
Right.
And the majority of schools around the country, I mean, I think we're at like 5% of schools now requiring tests. Mm-hmm. We're in the minority for sure.
Gotcha. And then, okay. And that, well, let's go keep Coast State General again. I know you've been kind of fighting the good fight there of like, let's only do this to where it makes any sense in the first place. Has the test scoring, let me ask this. How many applications do you think y'all would get if you got rid of the test scoring? Would that make it harder? Like, would you think we're going to get close to 60 faster if for 2028 you didn't have to take an SAT or ACT?
No question. And that's not the goal. I mean, at the end of the day, like, we don't need 60,000 applications. We need however many, you know, qualified, good students who can come in and help us meet our goals, right? So we want more students applying for business. We want more students applying for architecture, right? And that's, I think, where there could be opportunity were tests not to be required. Similarly, I mean, if you look at China, like, we've dropped in students applying from China.
Really?
Not that we were going to enroll more anyway. I mean, we kind of have set requirements there. But to the point of just, like, total number of applications, thousands more applications abroad, not just China, around the country, the world, rather, would be coming to Georgia Tech if tests
that
were
makes sense.
Waived. Now, I don't really see a path towards that in the near future. Ironically, I actually think the most viable path towards it probably does come from athletic pressure.
Gotcha. Okay. Let me shift to stuff that you actually that you like on campus. I think we did tech favorites a couple times ago, but I know I didn't ask. What's your favorite, I guess, event to go to on campus of the? I mean, you can go to nine. You can go to all the sports except golf on campus. So,
a volleyball.
Good. Okay, that's the right answer.
Yeah. I mean, man, and I love. I mean, bringing my family to a volleyball game.
It's crazy.
Oh man, just such a great environment. I'll tell you, and what I tell people too is like, What I love probably the most about it, and this is not to say our other sports aren't this way, but the visible support of people, of the athletes who aren't starting and aren't playing at the time, is just what sports should be about.
Yeah.
And of course you see that in basketball, and you see that in baseball and other sports too, but it's just so palpable.
Yeah.
And it's just like, especially I have, you know, with my own kids being like middle school age now, it's like, that's why sports are so great. Mm-hmm. Is, yeah, it's about like the excitement, and for many people it's about individual achievement, but like that support of each other, even if you're not playing, is what, you know, so many lessons can be learned from.
Have there been other sports that have touched, like I've only been really around campus for 6 years now, you've been here a lot longer. Have you seen other sports kind of reach that at other points that maybe they aren't at now, or like does anything come to mind there?
I mean, I think softball is super fun to go watch, and you see a lot of that there, in my opinion. It's just such a great environment, for sure. And I guess the other thing is baseball. I mean, you know, we've always had, you know, solid success in baseball, but that environment I think is underrated. And if anybody hasn't been to a game recently, I mean, it's just no better place to watch a college baseball game.
It's fun. No, in February when we get those sneaky warm days and they already have baseball going, that's a hidden gem right there. Because like, oh, you can do this now. Spring training hasn't even started, but we've got games that count already in late February. And when we get those I think that's when faux spring happens before second winter starts in the season, in the 12 seasons of Atlanta or something like that. Exactly. And then it's like cold on March 3rd, and you're like, I don't want to even touch the outside at all. So, nice. Do you want to plug anything? I know you got your own podcast that you do.
If you have folks listening who are, you know, maybe have high school kids still, Truth About College Admission is our book that I co-wrote with a friend. We're coming out with second edition in the fall. Sort of post-COVID updates, that kind of thing. And then we also have a podcast under the same name, Truth About College Admission. If you're more Georgia Tech-centric, we have something called the College Admission Brief, which we're now doing once a month. And it's like just about Georgia Tech admission and what's happening at that time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have listened to that. Well, you came to Drew Hills before I applied, so I got the live version of the podcast, before that happened. So, anyways, Rick, thanks a ton for coming on.
Absolutely, man. Good to see you.